Well, good day. It's April 29th, and today our readings had us look at Psalm 8, 9, 16, 19, 21, and 24. Before we get in to the actual Psalms, one term that maybe you've seen your reading is the term Selah. And I just want to be sure that we understand what that term means, because you'll notice it a number of times in your reading of the Psalms. It actually occurs 71 times in the text of 39 of the Psalms. And it's probably a musical instruction on the reading of the text. It means something like stop and listen. Selah also can be used to indicate that there is a musical interlude at that point in the Psalm. And one commentator explains Selah to mean pause and think of that. So let's get into Psalm number 8. And it starts out with a strong expression of praise. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Well, the psalmist's words about God having made us the crown of his creation with dignity and honor and just a little lower than the angels really reflect the biblical understanding of what it means to be created in the image of God. It's a beautiful psalm. Let's look at Psalm number 9, where it says, O Lord, see how do my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion, and there rejoice in your salvation. The nations have fallen into the pit that they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net that they have hidden. The Lord is known by his justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. The wicked return to the grave, all the nations that forget God. But the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted ever perish. Well, Psalm 9 begins not with a plea for God's help, but a shout of praise, because God has given David victory over his enemies. Two things to notice in this psalm. First of all, there is a strong appeal here for the Lord's justice. David sees his cause as the one that is pure and upright. He attributes his victory to the righteous of his cause. And the second thing to notice here is David's observation that the nations have fallen into the pit that they have dug. It's becoming very, very familiar figure of speech to us, because David used it 4 or 5 times now in the Psalms, and it's one of David's favorite expressions. Behind all this, of course, is the unstated conviction that God is the righteous judge on the earth. He keeps strict accounts, he doesn't miss a single thing, and he will right all the wrongs in the end. Psalm 16 says, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Of all the psalms we read today, Psalm 16 is very different, because it was not a desperate prayer in times of trouble. It stands by itself as a prayer of confidence and of rejoicing. It's very likely that the circumstances in which it was written were not all that different from the other psalms that we read today, but the psalmist's heart was different that day, full of faith and reflection upon the promises of God. It ends, as does Psalm 17, with what very much sounds like an affirmation of a belief in the resurrection. It says, my heart is glad because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with the joy in your presence and eternal pleasures at your right hand. And take note that in Acts 2, verse 31, and then again in Acts 13, verse 35, that very verse from Psalm 16 is taken by Peter and then the Apostle Paul as a prophecy of Christ's resurrection. Well, Psalm 19 says, another familiar one, the psalm, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of your hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." Well, there are two forms of revelation that God uses to tell us about himself. The first one we call general revelation, and that's available to all human beings equally. It is the revelation available by viewing creation itself. Theologians call it natural revelation. And the other kind of revelation is special. It's available to a smaller group of people, the ones who have the Bible. Creation tells us some things about God, about his power, his majesty, his grandeur. But we also need special revelation. The Bible tells us how we can know God. It tells us about Christ and about the way that we can come to peace with God. General revelation and special revelation, we need them both. And those are two themes that will continue to develop more and more as we move through the scriptures. Psalm 21 says, "O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is the joy and the victories you give. You have granted him the desire of his heart and have not withheld the request of his lips." Psalm 21 is a psalm of praise for victories God has given to the king. It follows Psalm 20, which was the prayer that the Israelites prayed before sending their king into battle. I am sure this accounts for its placement in our Bibles, but there is really no evidence that they were either written or recited together. But Psalm 20 was the prayer before the battle, and Psalm 21 was the praise after the battle. It reminds me that we need to remember pray not only desperate prayers of request and help when we're in big trouble, but also the grateful prayers of thanksgiving when God has delivered us from our troubles. And sometimes, I think if you're like me, we forget to do that. And finally, Psalm 24 today. It's one of my favorites. It says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory." Well, in the days when the cities were protected by thick walls and strong gates, opening a gate was a significant event, especially following a time of war. Once a king conquered his enemy, he returned to his city in triumph. The gates were thrown open and the victor was given a joyous welcome to his home. And this psalm praises the Lord as the great victor, proclaiming him to be strong and mighty and invincible in battle. So let us join the psalmist in worshiping our Lord, the King of glory, who has conquered the enemy of sin and death. I've asked Marcia again to join us as we close our time today. I'd like to do a full reading of Psalm 24 as we close our time. And if you could, why don't you get your Bible out and open it up in front of you to Psalm 24. And you might have noted when you read this text earlier that there are a couple spots where that word Selah is mentioned that we talked about earlier. One is in the middle of this psalm and one is at the close. And those are some spots where I've asked Marcia if she would play the harp behind the reading. And then we will allow some time in those Selah sections for her to play. Continue to play the harp, and I would like us, as Selah intends, for us just to ponder the text. Maybe look at the verses that were just read and reread those and see what God maybe would have for us today. So I'm going to read Psalm 24 and then have Marcia join us. Please read along with me. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob." Thank you. heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory.